Greetings and welcome to I Think You're Overthinking It, the podcast, episode number 1152. 1152. How many different ways can I say that? No, I guess just three. Couldn't come up with a fourth. I'll work on that for next time. A couple quick things. I have some stand-up dates coming up October 22nd at the Irvine Improv in fabulous Irvine, California. That's a Wednesday, October 22nd. One show then. I'll be there with my friend Mike Furman, who will also be appearing with me November 14 and 15 at the Hartford Funny Bone in Hartford, Connecticut. So you can go to chrishardwick.com for info about those shows. And then more will be announced soon. So this episode is a little bit different. You know, I had said when I was coming, but when I announced that I was coming back to do the podcast, if you heard that initial announcement, that there would be a lot of, you know, sort of experimentation with different flavors of the podcast, what, you know, exploring different ideas, you know. So we've done some more traditional ones, and I did one that was a little more music themed with Tom Lennon because I was interested in that and I love Tom. And I said, oh, I might even have some friends on, people that you may not have heard of. And so I asked my friend Matt Kapler to come on. Matt and his wife, Sarah Coates, are friends of ours. They have a daughter who's almost Dimity's age. And so we've been friends with them for a long time, and we had kids around the same time. And I thought, you know what? It'd be really fun to just have my friend on to talk about being a dad, because Kapler just cracks me up. I just think he's a super funny dude. He and his wife are super nice. Actually, they're both hilarious comedy geniuses. And so I got to have Sarah on at some point as well. Interesting side note, Matt, not an actor, not a performer, probably not someone that you had heard of. Still really hilarious. Matt works in advertising. And so, yeah, I just thought that was, it would be like a fun departure from the typical guests that we normally have on. Sarah is an actor, a fantastic one. And I believe we met them because she was on Z Nation with Lydia. Lydia was on a season of Z Nation. There was another zombie show besides Walking Dead. Can you believe it? But it was great. And she is great. And so that's how we all met and became friends. And we love them to pieces. So, yeah, so I just wanted Kapler to come on and just talk about dad stuff. So that's what we did. And it was a blast. So I hope that you are appreciating this journey, because honestly, I could have overthought this to death before I started this podcast again. Oh, it's got to be this. It needs to be this idea, and I should just make it this. But I just thought, you know, just start it. I'm always telling you to just start things. So I am following that advice. I'm starting and just kind of seeing where it goes and exploring different things that are of interest to me. And so I hope you understand and appreciate that, and you come along for the ride. I really loved this conversation. And so here is episode number 1152 with my good friend Matt Kapler talking about dad stuff. Let's roll the dad stuff. That was terrible.
Ooh.
That was a good one.
Ooh. The dad clap.
I'm so jealous.
The dad clap. Hey!
Yeah.
Get off that couch.
The dad version of everything is louder and more obnoxious.
Keep it down in there.
The dad sneeze.
Hey! It's time for dinner.
The dad fart.
We're getting past... Okay. Full disclosure. I just don't fart in front of people if I can. And now Lydia and I have been together 10 years. It's accidentally happened a couple of times.
Sure.
as you get older, certain parts of your body are not as efficient at holding in things. So sometimes you might just take a step or sneeze.
Yeah.
Or something, and then it just it comes out. But I generally do not. But there were times where if Lydia left the room and the baby was playing over there, I would, because she didn't, she was too young to know, and I didn't, I was like, well, yeah, she's not gonna. Yeah. But now that she's three, she's gonna start becoming, she's a lot more aware, and I don't want her to go to school and say, Daddy's very stinky, yeah, or he farts a lot. that's not how I wish to be defined as a dad.
Right.
Now, just for people, just so they know what this podcast is about, I don't know. I guess I'm just calling this Dad OS, mm-hmm, which I guess if you read it, looks like DadOS, which feels like a Silicon Valley startup. But basically, Matt Kapler and his wife, Sarah Coates, are two of our closest friends. And y'all have a daughter who's, I want to say, like 8 months younger than Dimity.
Something like that, yeah. Two and a half.
Yeah, Goldie was born in September of 22, right?
September 28th. 22.
Yeah, 2022. So
not 28. Not 2028.
We've been on the not. She's not a future baby. So we've been on this kind of parallel journey, and I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of. I know there's probably no shortage of parenting podcasts out there, but I love talking to you about dad stuff, because I didn't know. I really, until I met Lydia, I didn't know I was going to be a dad, mm-hmm, until Lydia was like, we're pregnant.
Yeah.
I didn't know. So was ours, that you planned on doing?
Ours was not planned. No. Ours was ours was definitely a bit of a pandemic baby,
mm-hmm,
where we were just inside of a house a lot.
Okay.
Together and not leaving or going anywhere.
I thought you meant Sarah got COVID and somehow she was pregnant.
She had to.
That's one of the side effects I didn't tell you.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to get into conspiracy theories this quick, but I feel like it's a good. I feel like the people are ready.
It was that Delta variant, so I got the cough and the sinus thing and the pregnancy.
Next thing you know, boom.
And then there's a little bit of diarrhea. Wait, what go back. What? The what?
Yeah. So, no, ours was not planned, but she's great. And but, yeah, it's not like I did a bunch of research or anything leading up to it. So, like you, every day is a new surprise that I have no idea how to deal with.
I think you guys are wonderful parents, by the way. I think you so embraced it in such a wonderful way. And Goldie's such a sweetheart. And I just love that. I love that Dimity has these, because there were a lot of, we know a lot of people who had the sort of the pandemic babies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I you said in your case it wasn't necessarily planned. I'm sure for other people it was like, oh, life is short and fragile. I guess maybe there are more important things, and this is what I want to do with my life, you know, yeah, whatever. I don't know what it was. But I love that she's got this kind of stratum of little friends.
Yeah, it's nice they have a little bubble of, you know, roughly the same age.
Yeah.
So they can all kind of start to come online around the same time and say hello to each other. And Dimity's a little more online because she's a little more older. So she'll, like, say hi to Goldie, and Goldie will say, like, I want cookies.
Dimity will say that,
too. That'll be her response to
Dimity,
hello.
Dimity's able to articulate that. You'll find that they're basically just able to articulate those things more.
Yeah.
So instead of, if there's something they don't want to do, instead of just going, ah, or no. No, I don't want to do that. Like, oh, well, I appreciate your sentence structure,
right,
but we do have to have dinner now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Goldie has the sentence, like, the polite sentence structure when she's asking for something.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're, like, they're two and a half, so it's not like they're, like, trying to get anything over on you. They're just figuring stuff out. But it is funny when she'll be like, I would like two cookies, please. And like, I will go, I don't have two cookies. And then the response to that is, ah, like, she just turns into the Tasmanian devil.
And the thing is, it's once they discover that there are things in the world like cookies and ice cream, of course they want that all, yeah, the time, because it's delicious.
Right. And I think she knows if she says, like, you know, if she says please, there's a better chance I will get them. But once it's all understood, there aren't cookies in the house.
Do you know how many times we've been in that situation where she'll ask for something that she's not supposed to have, like ice cream, like right before dinner, and she'll go, may I have ice cream, please? And I'm like, Lydia, she said, please. Like,
yeah.
We have to support this polite behavior.
Right.
But it is, I would love to just sort of talk to you about, like, our, like, the dad role. Sometimes, like, I feel like I'm just there, and I don't necessarily, there's not, like, some instinctual thing that's like, you should do X, Y, Z. Lydia is so intuitive. She's such a, you know, I think I'm a pretty good dad because Lydia is an amazing mom.
Yeah.
Like, truly. But she just knows stuff, and I sort of feel like, I don't know.
It's,
where did you put that thing? I put it away. Why? That's her. She needs that for school. I didn't know.
Where did you learn these things? Tell me.
Is there some wellspring that I can drink from and have this innate knowledge?
Maybe there's maybe Sarah. Sarah may have things that she knows. I'm like, how do you even know that? Lydia may have told her. I don't know. But yeah, it's definitely a team sport. whether one of you is, you know, the Jordan and one of you is the Pippin or what.
I don't get that. Is one better than the other? I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean, one of you has the rock more often, I guess.
What are you?
This is very dad of me to, like, to turn a baby into a, like, basketball dunk metaphor.
Oh, is that what that was?
Right.
I didn't get that. Like, I know they're both good players.
Yeah. She's the Jordan. I'm going to, like, pass
her the
rock.
Am I supposed to know the degrees at which these two gentlemen play? I know Jordan is obviously Jordan, but I certainly heard that, you know, and obviously, you know, I don't know shit about sports, so it's very difficult for me, which is exactly why Dimity's probably going to be like, I want to be a professional soccer player. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Here's another thing I got to learn.
Shit. Then cut to me being like Clint Howard in Parenthood. That kid's got no business being in there. What are you doing? What are you blind in there?
Fighting other dads.
Yeah, fighting other dads.
Typical.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's
I have a tendency to be like, oh yeah, Goldie, you should play sports because she's very tall. She's like been in the 99th percentile of height since like she was born. And now she's like the height of like a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old, even though she's only 2.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we gotta get her. We gotta get her dunking. We gotta get her kicking.
Like, Dimity will get none of that encouragement because I won't know how. I wouldn't even know how to do that.
It's funny because they grow at very like different speeds. And I remember the first time I picked Dimity up, I almost like launched her through the ceiling.
Oh, no.
Because I was so used to picking up a heavier baby.
Sorry, I have only experience with this one.
I was like, I only had this one very tall baby. I didn't know much later.
Well, that's. It's. I kind of want to go back to the thing you said about, you know, when you're like, well, we don't have 2 cookies, blah.
Yeah.
And you said they're not trying to pull anything over on you. Although I do feel like they're starting to figure out that they can pull stuff over on us. But something that was very monumental to me in terms of my understanding of toddlerdom was, I don't know, something I read or heard or something that said, it's easy to think that toddlers are tiny children because they're mobile and they start talking and they run around and you think they're just little kids. They're actually giant babies still. They're
for
walk around babies.
Yeah.
Until 3.5 or 4 where their brain, it's like they, until a certain point, which is from what I heard around 4, they're still so much baby brain, and the part of their brain that allows them to regulate their emotions, mm-hmm. and be able to understand temporal logic, like, oh, we can do this later, we can have a second cookie later.
Yeah.
If we do, you know, that doesn't start happening until, you know, from what I've heard, 3.5 or 4. And that changed a lot for me, because when you're childless, you really just, you're at airports and malls and you just think of, you only notice the kids that are misbehaving, so you just think of children as these, like, you know, maniacal noisemakers.
Right.
But then as a parent, everything has shifted so much in terms of like, oh, this is, she's not trying to be
right. You're so smug.
Disruptive.
You're like, you see the disruptive kid at the airport and you're like, wouldn't be me.
What's wrong with that kid's parents?
Wouldn't be me. I would be like, don't do that.
Yeah.
You'd be like,
you need to step, oh my God.
Of course, father.
so funny when people, I like the advice, like, you know, if Dimity's freaking out and someone goes, well, you know, the best thing you can do is just, like, deflect and distract. I'm like, because when she's, like, in full tantrum, any, like, even the stuff, even her go-to things, like go-to toys, just like, you know, it's like, that just pisses her off more because it's not whatever is in her head. Like, once they're...
Yeah, at that point, they don't even... zone. Their brain is turned off. They, like, they're like a bull that saw red, and they're just like...
Yeah, yeah. So a when Chicago you come up, bull, like a Michael Jordan?
Right.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, you did. Good. It's perfect. At the, you're like Michael Jordan when he sees the hoop.
At the, in the basketball World Series.
When she sees a cookie, she's like Jordan driving the hoop. There's no stopping her.
I'm not joking. What is it called, Matthew?
In the...
Like, what's the basketball Super Bowl called?
Oh, the champ. I mean, the NBA championship.
How did I forget that?
There's not like a fancy name for it, like Super Bowl. It's just the NBA championship series, I think.
All right. Yeah. Professional so you're good dunkathon.
There. Yeah, it's not like the Super Dunk or anything.
It shouldn't be... da, 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 da. It's gotta be the super dunk. Hey, who you got for super dunk this year?
Oh man, it's gonna be a good one. I guarantee it.
We can count on a lot of super
Doritos
dunks.
Presents the super dunk.
That, you know what this is? This is an early 2000s movie starring Ben Stiller and Will Ferrell where they start a basketball league.
To compete with the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's super dunk.
Super dunk.
We briefly pause to thank our sponsor for this episode of I Think You're Overthinking It, Squarespace, which is, of course, the all-in-one website platform designed to help you, yes, you stand out and succeed online. Maybe you're just starting out, or maybe things are going well and you want to scale your business up in some way. Well, Squarespace will give you everything you need to claim your domain, showcase whatever it is you're offering on the professional website, and grow your brand, and maybe even get paid all in one place. One of the many fantastic things about using Squarespace is this. Your search engine optimization tools are built right in, okay? Every website is optimized to be indexed with meta descriptions, an auto-generated sitemap, and more, so that you show up more often on search engines and bring in more of your ideal customers, which is so important in a crowded social media landscape where algorithms are just sorting. It feels like sorting other people away from you, even people who agreed to follow you. So, you know, having a website that appears as high as possible in search results is so, so, so important. And Squarespace has you covered along those lines. All right. So go to squarespace.com/Hardwick for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use the offer code Hardwick, my last name, H-A-R-D-W-I-C-K, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. So thank you so much to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of I Think You're Overthinking It, which we now return to.
But I've learned, like I said, I learned a lot about how their brains work, and so that gave me a much better understanding and appreciation, and it's been, I'm curious to hear what it's been like for you in terms of, I'm normally a very anxious person, and I've really learned to be very neutral because we don't want to give her anchors to, oh, if I do this, they'll, you know, like, it gets a reaction.
Right.
So if I, you know, do this, then, it, you know, so we just, you know, if she's freaking out, we just kind of get down. Hey, you know, I get it. It's tough to be a baby sometimes, but it'll be okay.
Yeah, the superhuman patience is not something that you're like... something that you innately have. You kind of have to, like...
You have to... It's a super dunk of patience.
Yeah, it's like... the super dunk of patience has to become part of you immediately. Because it's true. Like, they're not... when they're two and even, like, three and who knows, even four probably. Like, they're not manipulating you. They don't have... Right. They don't have ulterior motives. They're just trying stuff out. And
they're trying to navigate
happens.
The world. They're trying to learn how to people,
right.
basically.
Like, like, you talk about that. Like, that's a good... example, you talk about that. I had a thing where Goldie came up to me the other day and hit me. She came up and, like, open palm slapped me in the chest, and I looked at her and I said, no, you know, no, don't do that, don't hit me. And you could see it click in her head where she's like, oh, this is a fun game now, where right. I'm gonna hit him and he's gonna say no. And so now she'll run up to me and hit me and go, no. And I'm like, even that what I thought was like a level-headed response did not connect the way that I hoped it would. And now I'm trying to figure out what to do next.
It's hard because we're like you guys. So like, you know, you and Sarah are so funny. Like you guys both, I mean, I know Sarah has background in improv but we're the same in that we gamify everything because it's, you know, we want to be fun and it is hard to delineate, you know, no, I know that normally we turn this into a game, but you can't climb on the edge of the couch or right. You shouldn't do this or you shouldn't throw that, you know, and how to not have it turn into that, where they're trying to, especially because Dimity, and I imagine it sounds like Goldie's the same way. It's funny. Like she's funny and but she gets bits and she likes
to do
bits.
A little back and forth.
She thing. Does. Yeah. Yeah. So right. How are you navigating that to try to separate, like, yes, there are things that are bits, but then there are things that you really should not do.
Yeah. Like, and I honestly don't have like a great advice for this one because I'm still working through it. Like, there's another one where I was trying to get her to not drink bathwater, as they do. They, like, for some reason, bathwater is like the most delicious thing she's ever had. So she gets in the bathwater, it gets nice and dirty and soapy, and she probably peed in it, and then she, like, takes a sip, and I go... I try to do the thing where I'm like, don't drink that. That's silly, right? And then now she takes the cup and she looks at me and she goes, don't drink that. That's silly.
And you're
then
like,
and then takes a drink. And I'm like, no, it's not a bit. I'm like, no, I'm trying to tell you. So, I mean, she does like, I mean, she understands what no means. She says it to me all the time. So I don't know. I think it's, but again, it's just like being patient and working through it. Cause she'll, you know, she is starting to stop doing the hitting game now. Cause I think I just started not giving her any sort of response to it at all. Which I think, because it's not like she's hitting me because she's, like, angry or lashing out. She just thinks it's a game, so I'm trying to be like, no, this isn't a fun game. We're not going to play this one.
Right. And she doesn't understand yet. Like, they're just experimenting with the world. The world is just, like, a big open experimentation.
Right.
And they also, they're not, she's not only learning from the action, they're also learning from how you react, how to react to things.
Yeah.
So,
which is especially why you don't want to get, like, even though it's impossible to never get frustrated, why you don't want to get like, don't do that, or yell out, because they're like, oh, okay, yelling.
Then
that's what a person does.
They'll go do that.
Right.
Because they're constantly learning, like, we were home one day, and a helicopter flew over, and I was standing there, and she kind of jumped here and kind of hid, like, in between my knees and was like, oh no, a helicopter.
What's that?
And we had never, she was never afraid of helicopters before. And Lydia was like, she must have seen another kid do that at the park.
Yeah.
And learned, like, some other kid might have been freaked out. And it really makes you realize how spongy their brains are. They just nonstop, they're just absorbing literally everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very like, for a long time, it's very just sort of monkey see, monkey do. All right, I saw a person do that. I'm a person, so I'm going to do that too.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's not a. You gotta remain very neutral when they're doing all that stuff, because like you said, they're gonna, especially from you, because you're dad.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm gonna copy him. I'm gonna copy him a lot.
Yeah, but I feel like I don't have a good toolkit, you know, where it's like, hey, you really shouldn't do that. I'm going to do this anyway. Well, I'm out of ideas.
Yeah.
I don't know how to... Lydia! You know, like...
Yeah, and it's funny to think about, like, even stuff that you would never think about. Like, I, just because she's cute and I love her, will come up and, like, put my face right up in her face and go, like, like, what are you doing? Ha ha.
Yeah.
And the other day at school, they were like, you know, it's funny, Goldie will, like, go up to another kid and, like, put her face right in that kid's face and go, like,
That's so, like, you know, when you like, think God, back when right, you were a kid right. and you're like, there's this one kid in my class and he just gets right up in your face. But now knowing like, oh, his parents, there's probably some game.
Yeah.
And, you know, like stuff you might have written on was like, that's weird. What's the,
yeah.
oh, they're just, they're being silly. You right. know, they're just being silly.
Yeah. So I do not know. I don't know yet how to make her do exactly what I want all the time, but I will figure it out.
I don't think we ever figure it out as parents because then they start consciously, like now it's sort of funny because you go to this period where they're unconsciously not listening because they just have baby
distracted
brains
or whatever.
Then yeah. at a certain point, you know, then they'll actively be they'll like, oh, whatever you say, I'm going to do the opposite yeah. purposely.
Right.
You know, but we just, I just keep kicking that down the field.
Yeah, I know.
And someone else explained it really well. His daughter was, he was like, right when Dimity was born, his daughter was, he was driving her to drop her off at college. Right. And he was like, the best advice I can give you is that it's, you don't get the boss level, like, right out of the gate. It's a series of incremental steps. And yeah. I'm like, oh, that actually, because you think you have to know everything at once and you have to do, but it's just like, you kind of go along and you adjust as best you can and then they evolve. So you kind of, you know, the curve is a little... Right. Not as steep as you would think.
Right, you don't go directly to the super dunk. You start with... you play against some, like, lower-level teams first. You beat them.
It's a bracketed actually. System. Yeah, like, and then, you know, you get to super dunk.
Can we that's a teenager, I suppose.
I mean, did we just pitch a movie? Did we just pitch super dunk?
Super dunk.
The out movie. Of this?
Yeah.
Where it's... okay, super dunk is a bunch of... They could still do it. Ben Stiller and Will Ferrell. It's they're middle-aged dudes.
Bunch of dads.
A bunch of dads. Who?
It's like a dad league.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's maybe they have to make it easier so there are those little trampolines like under the rim. So
right. That they and some of them, and because they've got a baby who they have to be very zen around all the time, they've got a bunch of like pent-up frustration.
Yeah.
That they got to take out where they're like, buckle up.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Yeah, I think Super Dunk. I think Super Dunk is a good early 2000s movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I would see that.
Go back in time. is it you work from home?
I do. Yeah.
Are you guys going back into the office at all ever?
Well, no. I am like I'm a remote employee. My office isn't even in LA, so no, I'm not. I mean, I travel to my office sometimes, but for the most part, I'm fully remote. And it's really, really great in terms of being able to spend time with my wife, with my little baby daughter, and get to help out and, do my part and pull my weight in terms of like child stuff. but then at the same time, I get a little stir crazy and I have to get out of the house and, you know, otherwise I'm talking to just this baby all the time and I start to say weird things to adults. So
are you allowed to say what your job is?
I'm a creative director at an ad agency. The ad agency is up in San Francisco, but I, you know, they've got a distributed work model, so I'm just patching in on my computer each day.
Have you started integrating any of Goldie's ideas? Have they filtered in? Have you been like, and then Hamburglar slaps mayor cheese on the chest? Do they still have them?
It would be like with her at this point, it would probably be like more kitties. I'd be like, you know what? What if we put more kitties in here? Like, that's probably what her stuff that would seep into my brain would be like, you know, this campaign needs more kitties in it, I think.
We're a gas station company.
Yeah, I think everybody really likes kitties.
Isn't that an engine purr? I don't know. There's something in there. I feel like there's definitely like a McMahon and Tate factor where it's like, this is the pitch, but they're really just covering.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah, the whole time.
So, but yeah, she's good, and she's, you know, my, especially when she was first walking around, she would come into my office all the time, and it's actually it actually is kind of like a very nice, vibe lifter when a baby comes into a room on a call, on like a business call, because, you know, so much of the time you're talking about work and strategy and you know, making charts and graphs, and then like a baby comes in and it's like a funny moment. I had a not my baby, but one of my coworkers, we were all on a call, and his daughter's like four, And we were on a call, and it was lasting kind of a long time. And at one point, his 4-year-old sticks her face right in his camera, and she goes, "This meeting is over."
And they're like, "Well,
we did it." We were like, "She, you heard her. This meeting's over, guys. We're done." And
she called it.
Yeah, we did. We ended the meeting. It was great. But yeah, they do. They bring in a nice little bit of levity into the like adult space every once in a while.
That's really funny. I mean, it is the best and worst thing to happen to humanity is like the teleconferencing of it all, because again, it's incredibly convenient. You can live, you have more freedom to live where you want than we used to pre-pandemic. The downside is, of course, finding the work-life balance, but Jesus Christ, the fucking Zooms. It's like, at least when I was in a room full of people, I wasn't necessarily seeing everyone's faces bored up. It's like you can see the boredom in everyone's face.
Yeah.
Because you still operate the Zoom like it's a phone call, so you're not really... you're not really engaged. Right. It's just you can see everyone's face.
Or, and they're all looking at themselves.
Yeah.
They're like, hmm.
Or they're probably on shopping for, you know, they're buying shoes or something.
Another tab open.
Yeah.
You know, or they're chasing a baby around.
Or they've pulled a Speed, the movie, where they just put themselves on a loop.
Yep.
Aren't there AIs now that can do that? That can just kind of put you on a loop?
So I'm actually an AI right now, sitting on this couch.
Oh my, it's gotten so good. It's good.
Look at that. I worry about that. I would like, because they're, but you know, right now it's like, oh, someone will call my parents and they'll be like, oh, Matt is in jail and he needs bail money or something, and they'll be like, oh no, and I think about like, oh, that's gonna get more sophisticated, and when I'm old, like adult Goldie's just gonna walk into the house, ask me for money, I'll hand it to her, and then she'll just like vaporize into the and reveal that she was a scammer.
With some European crime syndicate that's just like, it's like vaporize. Yeah, because money won't be cash.
Yeah, I'll give her all of my
transfer all of your dad coin.
Yeah, I'll give her all my dad coin, and then she'll vanish.
And you'll be like, shit.
Then I'm screwed.
Oh man. And you'll go, Goldie, no. And she'll go, Goldie, no. Yeah. And then she'll vanish.
Hit me. Take my gold, my dad go, dad yeah. coin, and go.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what's going to happen. It is. I do keep hoping that technology and social media and stuff somehow gets friendlier by the time Dimity's older. I don't know if it's trending that way per se, but I do just, again, there's so many things that I'm just kicking like a decade down the field.
Oh yeah, like social media, I don't even think like my adult brain handles it very well.
No.
Like, I feel myself getting like angry about stuff. I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna fight with this guy on Reddit. And I'm like, what am I doing? And I'm a grown man, so like,
you know why? Because I wonder if it's easier for people who it was just always there when they were growing up.
Yeah.
But being, I think you're millennial and I'm Gen X, so yeah. we still both have a foot in each side of the fence, where it's like, you might read a comment as though a guy like walked up to you at a bar and
said it.
Yeah, said something really awful, and right. then you're like, what the fuck? You know, why would you say that?
Yeah.
And so maybe this generation doesn't, I don't know. I honestly don't know. But it definitely, we're the last generation that will know life before all of that.
I think, yeah, I mean, my worry about just the general negative effects of social media on like a kid aside, you're right. There's a weirdness where like if you had the internet forever, there's not that experience where it's like if you said that thing that you said just now to somebody's face, there would be trouble. You would get in a fight. And I don't want to get in a fight. I think there's like less of
a fight.
I think they have like less of a filter because of that.
Well, I have a friend who has a daughter who's maybe like 15 or 14 or 15, and her daughter's I was very pleasantly surprised to hear doesn't really care that much about social media. I think because this generation kind of sees their parents doing it and they're like, eh, and maybe it's not as cool.
Right.
I'm not saying that there won't be
psychology.
Something or it'll be some different social media, but anyway, and I think this is just a testament to what a great parent that my friend is, because she said her daughter saw something on Instagram that this girl in school had a party and she wasn't invited, but she wouldn't have been invited because she doesn't really know that girl very well. But she articulated this to her mom and was like, you know, I feel weird because I didn't really know this girl, but I felt like I was being left out.
Right.
And so she was like, oh, no, no, no. So my friend was like, no, listen. Social media is kind of designed to play upon these insecurities and make you feel like you're missing out on something you're not really missing out on. So it's perfectly, what you're feeling is natural. That's kind of what it's designed to do, but it's really not real and it's not a big deal. And her daughter was like, oh, okay, I can roll with that. And,
yeah.
You know, I was, that was very encouraging to me because I don't know how, I honestly just don't know how I'm going to be able to separate that and be like, oh, well, that's this kind of false matrix thing wherever it's like an idealized, you know,
right?
Like,
yeah, you're gonna have to talk to her about the stuff, and you feel like you're gonna have to say smart stuff all the time and be like, I'm gonna have to say something really smart.
And what might just come out is like, I don't know,
it's the web.
Hey, come on. it's the net.
Hey, don't come on, in the web. Don't get caught in the net. Come on. I'll try for something smart, but that's what'll come out.
I remember that period, early 2000s, where people were trying to make net stick.
Yeah.
It's the net. Hey, what are you
Sandra
doing?
Sandra Bullock got caught in the net.
Surfing the net.
I'm on the net. Yeah.
I'm doing cyber work.
Yeah.
Surfing the net.
Watch out, there's hackers in the net.
You know where there's other hackers in the net? At the Superdunk!
Superdunk!
That made my ear ring. That was such a good high five.
Right, you can tell, like, even now, like, I'm trying to say smart stuff. Instead, I come up with the Superdunk. That's going to be me trying to parent her as she gets older.
Really, it's going to be so hard not to just do bits about that constantly.
I know.
And you also have to be, I feel like I'm going to have to be really careful not to have the snarky, dry humor that I have.
Yeah.
You know? Or it's like, what are we having for dinner? Oh, it's ostrich, you know? Or whatever. Just something totally, like, ridiculous and nonsensical. Because
right.
I feel like that, they may not necessarily always understand sarcasm or that kind of, like, you know, unless it happens enough where they just know, like, oh, no, you know, everything this guy says is really silly and off the wall.
They're like, I'm hungry. And you're like, hi, hungry, I'm dad. And they're like, why won't he feed me?
Because I'm doing bits.
Because I'm doing, I'm dead. I'm on the net. I'm doing
squirt,
bits.
Squirt the water, the flour. Yeah.
Just watered the sandwich.
We're just fucking clowns. Yeah. Like, we're just constantly, like,
that's what it is. Like, you're constantly thinking, like, what is it about me that's going to mess her up? I know it's something, but I just don't know what it is yet.
She already, for a very long time, she's been shutting down bits.
Yeah.
That she does not have time for. And I get it so well now why parents seem so uncool. But as the parent, you're like, hey, it's going to be funny and fun. So she watches this show. A lot of stuff she watches we can watch at the same time. She's been watching a lot of Unicorn Academy.
Yep.
Which is very, like, you know, it's for younger audience.
Yeah.
But, you know, whenever the theme song comes on, I'll sing and dance like follow your heart straight to the stars.
Yeah, like, go check it out. There's Wildstar.
Magic glows. Your friendship grows. You know, but I kind of get into it. Follow you, because it'll play. You know, like episode after episode.
Yeah.
Follow your heart, and she just immediately go, Dad, stop it. And I just kind of sit down, dejected.
It starts.
The new episode starts like follow your heart. Dad, stop. Okay.
No.
All
right,
yeah.
Unicorn Academy, serious, man.
Come on, man.
It's not a joke.
Have you watched all of Unicorn Academy?
We've only recently gotten into Unicorn Academy. We've been doing like a little Paw Patrol, and like Gabby's Dollhouse is the one that she's gotten really into lately. That's why I said earlier, if she was a thing, it would just be more kitties. Because like Gabby's Dollhouse is one, it's like a young girl, and every episode she shrinks down into a... She shrinks down into a cartoon character and goes inside of her own dollhouse with a cat. And then they have adventures with other animated cats within the dollhouse. But
And you have to emotionally find a way in because you have to watch these things over and over and over. And we had to go, we were going somewhere and we were, the Dimity is, we kept watching like bits of Unicorn Academy, but for months hadn't actually finished it. We were supposed to leave. And Lydia was like, okay, we gotta go. I'm like, I gotta see if Sophia reunites with her dad. Like, what the fuck did I just say? You know, like, it, because
you, I've literally seen it 14 times. Yeah, exactly. I never find out.
I just
out.
Need to see how it wraps up. And, and I was like, what just happened? But you really do have to find a way in because you know, it's the number of, like, pop culture tentpole things that I am not caught up on, but I can tell you exactly what happens in Unicorn Academy.
Yeah.
Is,
Those ones at least have, like, a pretty normal, like, a little storyline. Like, it's pretty accessible. Like, the one that gets a little tough for me is, like, Mickey's Clubhouse, which I love, you know. Mickey's Club. What is that? How's it? Muska, Muska.
Oh yeah,
Muska.
Well, there's the hot dog song. Hot dog.
That's that at the end of the episode.
Hot dog. Hot dog. Hot diggity dog.
Wait, she sings all those.
What's the Mickey's Clubhouse theme go? Mishka, Muska, Mickey Mouse. Come inside, it's fun inside.
Oh, that's it.
It's the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Come inside, it's fun inside.
That's it. Those ones are a little hard because they're like they're very catered to like
toodles.
Yeah, a toddler. Like, which one of these items do you think will open the door? And I'm like, easy, the key. Next. Like,
I'm good at tests.
I'm like, babe, this is so easy.
It's not the ladder.
And then I get it wrong half the time.
It's not the shopping cart. Is it the mystery item?
So embarrassing.
It's the key!
It's the key!
So. Mommy Redbird lost her baby. Oh, do you know where he could be?
Although, they do, like, all those shows are pretty good about putting a little, like, Pete. Like, Pete's very funny in Mickey Mouse's Clubhouse to me.
Oh, Pete.
Yeah, there was an episode the other day where he comes around the corner and there's like a humongous pile of rubber ducks and Pete goes, oh my gosh, that's the third biggest pile of rubber ducks I've ever seen. And I was like, that's a pretty good joke.
But in that voice,
yeah.
That's the
oh my god.
Pete's voice, all I ever hear is there's a, because Disney's really fascinating with the Mickeyverse because there's the Mickey Jr. stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's the Mickey, the tapestry of my life has changed so dramatically in the last handful of years, but before I was talking about Star Wars, now it's like, okay, what you gotta understand about the Clubhouse?
You don't know anything about Unicorn Academy.
You can't just get in. It's where all the magic is kept. There's a couple of Mickey Halloween specials. One is that like old school animation style they did of the Mickey reboot. There's one that's
you were telling me about this
legitimately
one.
Yeah. Funny where I think it's called like the scariest story ever told or something, but it's like it's that old school animation reboot style. And it is legitimately hilarious.
I appreciate that.
And then there's that, but then the Mickey Jr. is a whole different flavor. And there's a Halloween one there. And for some reason, Pete, he like steals there's like the lady cow who's like she's the head witch. And Daisy and Minnie are trying to become witches. They're in witch school. But all the Mickey characters are different. So like Mickey is a vampire and Goofy is a mummy, I think, or something. And so Pete's a ghost. And there's some sort of a Halloween party. And he steals, spoiler alert, he steals Clarabelle's wand and, like, basically wreaks havoc on the town because none of them take him seriously. Yeah. He's like, I just want to win the kooky spooky contest.
Yeah, yeah.
He says the word kooky spooky contest so many times that it just became like a meme in our house.
He's kind of oddly, even though he's like the sort of the villain of the show, he's kind of oddly relatable too, because they'll do a thing where they're like, we're gonna do a race, but it's not really a race. Nobody wins. It's just to have fun. And Pete's like, no, I'm gonna win. I'm like, yeah, that's me. I'm like, what do you mean nobody's gonna win?
Well, that's where they put all of that energy. I mean, if I know my Disney history properly, they figured out early on, like, oh, Mickey kind of stays in this emotional range, so we need a Donald because that's where we can put our rage. That's where we can put our, like, you know, like, kind of imperfect sort of,
yeah,
you know, manic qualities. And so Pete is definitely, you guys,
he's the petty one. Yeah, yeah.
Come on. Good evening, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. It's the third biggest pile.
So I appreciate him. He's good. He's for me, for sure.
Yeah. What else are you guys watching?
There's a handful of she likes Pixar movies a lot. There's a handful of Pixar stuff. She loves Ratatouille.
Mm-hmm.
And she really is, and again, like, I don't know if these will translate, but like at two, she's very into like cooking stuff. She likes Ratatouille. She's got her little like kitchenette set, mm-hmm, that she is like pulls me down to, and she's like, cooking, we're gonna start cooking. I started doing like, because again, you can never stop doing bits. She'd be like pulling me in, and I would start going, Jesse, we need to cook, like from Breaking Bad. and then she kind of said it the other day. I was like, oh no, that's not a good idea.
we were watching all the Disney Pixar movies, and like a year ago or so, she loved Tangled, which we watched over, mm-hmm, and over again, but there's a recurring frying pan gag.
They're beating each other over the head with frying pans.
Yeah, and so she picked something up and started, and Lydia was like, oh my God. And, you know, like, my parents, there weren't really a lot of, I don't guess this is a Gen X-y thing, I don't know, but they were like, eh, whatever, because it was sort of like, I grew up with the advent of cable.
Yeah.
So there was a million of everything, and I watched, my parents were awesome, super engaged parents, you know, they didn't just leave me alone in front of the TV for hours at a time, but I liked TV, and I liked, you know, so there weren't a lot of content restrictions, you know, in terms of like, ah, you know, yeah, it's probably fine. So I wanted to show Dimity, because we watch a lot of Disney stuff, I wanted to show her some of the old, like, Warner Brothers, like Bugs Bunny.
You know,
and so I tell Lydia, like, oh, I want to show her some Bugs Bunny, and Lydia goes, oh, that's fine, you know, but just nothing where the protagonist is violent. And I was like, that's fucking all of them!
That's
like
why they're loony.
Popeye, Tom and Jerry, Bugs Bunny, Daffy, like, they're all,
The whole running theme is like, we're gonna have one guy try to kill another guy,
yeah,
and it's not gonna
By the
work.
Way, Bugs Bunny he was my favorite character, but he is a legit sociopath.
He's nuts. he takes joy in torture.
Yes! Indiscriminately just sending people dynamite.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Roadrunner Coyote, the coyote's constantly trying to murder the Roadrunner.
And eat him.
And, yeah.
And eat him. And I know he's a Roadrunner and he's a coyote and he's this natural predator, but they're also sentient. Like, they're not normal. They're also sentient. So it's pretty messed up.
He keeps ordering from this acne company that keeps supplying all these death traps.
Bombs and knives and...
Jeez. And a box with a rope that you can put the bird seed on the...
Right, and then the next day you come out and your beautiful baby daughter has, like, strapped herself to a rocket.
And, you get this. And with the skates, the rocket skates, and, like, the bad outfit.
Yeah, you're like,
the,
oh, no.
Yeah, oh, what have I done? Yeah, so we... So, I never thought I was going to be the kind of parent who was like, well, I don't know, maybe we should kind of monitor. But you really do, because you don't want them to see a frying pan gag.
They will copy it.
Yeah, they will copy it.
They will copy it,
whatever
it is. And
when she's older, we can say, like, this is for comedy effect. You wouldn't really hit someone in the face with a frying pan.
Right.
But we've been on, and I'm delighted because it's a delightful show. We've been on a massive SpongeBob kick. So
yeah.
She... you know, watched some of the 2D SpongeBobs, but then, like, the SpongeBob movies are all, like, 3D or, like, stop motion.
The animation's great on them.
Or there's one called Camp Coral, which is basically the SpongeBob characters as kids at camp.
Mm.
And but it still has the same kind of energy.
Yeah.
And...
Like Muppet Babies.
Or something. Like Muppet Babies.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just really fun to be, like... are you ready, kids? You know, and then she goes, aye, aye, captain. You know, lives in a pineapple under the sea. We go, SpongeBob Square. But then sometimes she'll do the reverse, and then you have to do the call and response.
That's a good one, too. I mean, I also keep an eye on which songs I am encouraging, not because of content, but because a lot of those songs feature, like, falling down and standing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one that she got really into, Five Little Monkeys Jumping on the Bed.
Oh.
One fell off and bonked his head. She wanted to sing that with me all the time, but it requires me to fall on the ground and get back up many, many times, and my knees and back aren't springy like hers.
Yes, I have determined that Dimity does not care that I am middle-aged.
No, no. And she's like, why aren't you falling down? You need to fall down. It's part of the song.
Well, I was playing this game with her where, like, in the door jam, I'd pick her up and go, spider baby does whatever a spider baby
does.
That's
a good one.
And then I'd set her back down, and she'd go, spider baby! And I'd go,
yeah.
Spider baby does whatever a spider baby. And it's, like, at a certain point, your arms are just like, no.
Right.
You're not going to lift anything else, maybe ever again. And so she just doesn't, it's like she doesn't appreciate that I'm not, you know, I'm not in super dunk form anymore.
I know.
It's like, shit, come on. What's up?
I know. I gotta like lift weights just in case I accidentally make up a funny bit where I throw her in the air and I have to do it.
You just can't.
Over and over.
Yeah, we were playing from Bluey. We were playing Keepy Uppy, so we got the balloon and you got to keep up in the air.
Yeah.
And then I accidentally bonked the balloon up and it went up. You know, we have that loft over the dining room,
mm-hmm.
and it nestled up there, so I ran upstairs and I threw it down, and that was a huge mistake because then it was like,
I wanted to go all the way up there.
So she'd catch the balloon, and she'd go, Daddy, come down! I go, okay, here I come! And I'd come downstairs, and she'd throw it, you know, into the stairwell, and I'd have to go back and keep running up the stairs to throw it down, and it was sort of like, there's no second cookie at a certain point where I'm like, sweetheart, I think we're good with this game. Okay. Which, of course, she's learning that if she freaks out, I'm going to do whatever she wants. Maybe not the best lesson, but...
I know.
In that moment...
Yeah, it's okay. You can't... You got to give yourself a little space, too.
But it also just makes her so happy...
Yeah.
...that it's like, it's...
It's like when you said before, when they're like, cookie, please, and you're like, what, am I supposed to say no? Like, she's being polite little gal.
Yeah, and also, like... There's something that's so, you just can't compare it to anything else, but the absolute purity of like a joyful, like, you know, it's like when they shriek, when they're really happy, it's like, that's like the ultimate expression of unfiltered joy. So I'm going to be the person that's like, I'm not going up the stairs again, you know?
That level of joy is like inaccessible to me at this point. Why would I take that away from... That's, like, so precious and
unless
rare.
I was like, unless Sarah was like, Matt, you sleep in today.
Oh.
Be like, oh, I get to sleep in?
Oh, my gosh.
What? This is crazy.
Sarah did do that the other day. She got up and went and got the baby. And she, very sweetly, she was coming into the room to try to do that thing that was like, let's go wake up Daddy. Let's have like a cute little moment where we wake him up and laugh and roll on the bed. And she walks in the room and goes, look, it's Daddy. And I just hear Goldie go, no.
Like she didn't want to hang out
with that. Like she's like, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
That's how I wake up. Are you kidding me? I have to wake up to rejection? Is there a snooze button on
it was,
that?
I mean, and we you know, we've talked about this before. There is something that, like, one of the biggest sources of like, bummer that I will sometimes run into is when you have too specific of an idea in your head about what's going to happen. If you're like, this is exactly how this little moment's going to go, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen like that. So don't build it up too much in your head. Like, you got to keep a little bit of a soft sort of
it
expectation.
Is what I didn't realize being a parent would be, and I really love this about it, is that we've talked about this a million times. It's a nonstop improv jam. Like, it is a constant yes and. and you don't even know the rules most of the time, but you're just doing your best to yes and whatever she's throwing out there, so that you, because I feel like, you know, as conscious as you can be, every little moment, no matter how small you think it is another like incremental deposit in the joy bank. And if I feel like, because you're gonna have imperfect days and things aren't always gonna go smoothly, but if you can just put in as many of those like joyful little moments, then it'll, you know, net out and sort of, you know, protect against those days where it's like, no one slept the night before, you're really late, and it's like, we have got to go, you know?
Yeah.
That you just want to do the best you can to make sure that, like, the default setting is joy.
Totally. And I think you're totally right, and it's not like a day not being perfect doesn't mean it won't be fantastic. It's just, it may be great in a way that you didn't expect it to be, which is if you keep that open approach to it, is better for you.
The one that there's nothing to compare it to. I wasn't trained in any way, like none of my skill sets.
Right.
You know,
they just like the baby and send you home.
Like at the end of the day, I could sit and talk to people about, I could do like a talking show with like, oh, let's talk about your day.
Yeah.
But I don't have any other skill set in terms of like how to be a parent, but it definitely just seems like, if you could just be as present as possible, as much of the time as possible, you're already kind of ahead of the game, you know? Yeah. But it is...
Also, you could be wrong about that. You get Dimity here on this couch, you do a little question-answer with her, that could be fun.
We're not there just yet.
You won't know where it'll go.
She's like semi-conversational, but not like... It's in little... like blurbs,
right?
But it's not like a long, you know, we can't have a long conversation. Oh, I was gonna say something that I thought was a really great point, and now I forgot what
it was.
I cut
you off.
No, it was me. So this is what I was gonna say. So I didn't necessarily have the skill set, but I figured like, well, there are some big ticket items you can figure out if they're having an off day. Did they sleep? Have they had water? Are they hungry? You know, like, are they just tired or whatever? But the one that never would have occurred to me is that they get overstimulated.
Yeah.
Especially as, like, their tiny little brains just get packed with all this information or all these experiences or all these things.
Yeah.
And that some of the meltdowns are just because they just... need to have like a little bit of quiet time, you know. It's like, okay, let's all just, we'll just talk softly and we'll just put on something calm. There's this movie, this beautiful Irish movie called Song of the Sea, that we watch, and it's just like to
cool the vibes down.
To cool the vibes down a little bit, And it never would have occurred to me that many times throughout the week, a baby's brain is like if you were cramming for exams. At a certain point, you're like, I can't fucking take this anymore!
It's too much new information!
So, but Lydia has such a, you know, she has such a beautifully keen sense of like, she's a little overstimulated now, and that's okay, you know, because either she had school or we went to the playground, and then she saw some goats or whatever, because we live mainly up on a farm. And she just really, Lydia just knows how to really balance it to kind of blunt the intensity of like the meltdowns that are really just like, oh, I think we just have to ride this one out. You know, you get those ones where it's like, well, I think this will just be the next handful, hour or so, but then it'll, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I'm saying like Sarah does seem to have like a very good intuitive sense of like what is bothering her in a moment more than I probably do, where I'm trying to be like, I'm doing that thing where I'm like, what about this doll? And she's like, and I'm like, what about this thing?
Like, if she's the first time we ever took her to the dentist, she was I figured that like when she can't, maybe all kids are like this, I don't know, But when she can't clock what something is, yeah. kind of like, she's kind of like, ah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you go to the dentist and there's all these people in masks and they're doing yeah. it. And it's like, and she's like, didn't know what it was. So she started to get upset. And like, two people came over to try to help with squeaky toys and were like, hey, trying to distract her, which just upset her more.
It's just more stimuli.
And maybe that works for some kids.
Yeah.
But Lydia was like, I mean, if you're upset, do you want someone being like, what about this?
What about this? You want this?
Be like, get the fuck out of my face.
Even if it was something I liked, they were like, ooh, look at this.
Yeah, you'd be like, all done.
You want to watch the Michael Jordan documentary? I'm like, get out of my face. I'm upset. No.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
He's really good at dunking.
Like, yeah.
Not
we,
now.
We, I mean, we've gone to the dentist, I think just once, maybe twice, but I think at least the one time it was basically just, we kind of expected her to scream because we were like, that's the only way we're getting her to like keep her mouth open so they can look at her teeth.
Yeah.
And the dentist said the same thing. They were like, yeah, she's just, okay, I just need to look in there. So
yeah.
Let her yell. I'll just put my face in the screaming.
Just look right in there. Just make sure. Like, thank God, yeah. because it's, you know, I never know, like, oh, is everything a core memory?
Right.
So if she has, so if she goes to the dentist and she does not vibe with it, is that a core memory?
Right.
So I'm constantly, you know, Lydia's constantly going like, no, it's fine. I'll go, is this, I think this is just sort of like anxiety brain. Like, do you think this is how it's always going to be? And she's like, no, it's fine. She just, you know, it's fine.
I know you were, we talked to you about it, but like when Goldie was like a new, like relatively new walker, she fell and clipped her head on a coffee table and had to get stitches in her forehead. And I remember like going there, and the way you give stitches to a baby is you basically wrap them up like a feral animal and then hold them down.
Oh my God.
And I have to be the one to hold them down, to like hold her down.
Are you just sobbing the whole time?
I was so traumatized. And I'm like, this is traumatizing for me. This has got to be like a core trauma for her.
And then you, even though you know that what you're doing is helping you, because she's upset, you're just like shattered inside.
Yeah. And at one point she's like, I mean, she's crying because they're like putting needles in her head. And at one point she kind of like comes out of her sobbing and like looks at me in the face and just goes like, dada up.
Oh,
I was like, I don't ever want to come back to this doctor again. Like, there's no way. And I had that thought. I was like, is she going to be scared of doctors forever now because of this?
That makes me want to start crying. Like, I don't know. You know, it sucks because as the parent, you're supposed to be the bigger person. But there are those times where you're just like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can, okay?
They did it quick. They did it quick, and they got her, and it was funny because she's better now. Like, she goes to the doctor now, and she's more reasonable now. We can say, like, hey, you know, look, I'll do the stethoscope. Look, right. Now you do it too, and it's fine, and she's fine. But for a stretch, she was, like, really did not want to go back to the doctor, and I remember at one point we went back for a cough, and I was explaining to the nurse, I was like, yeah, she's nervous because she got stitches and it was kind of traumatic. So now she's a little nervous. But, you know, we're just trying to get her here and make her confident. And this nurse is like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And right at that moment, the door opens and the same doctor that gave her stitches walked in. And she goes, ah!
They're like, the kids are like crows. Like, they recognize, like, no, that guy is tough, is bad news.
I felt terrible because he was a great doctor. He's very sweet, but I was like, you have to get out of here, man. I can't, neither of us want to see you.
You know what? You needed to get stitches. So the doctor's got to, he's got to slam your head on the coffee table, and then you have to, like,
get to show her. I'm like, look, it's fine.
Yeah. Look, daddy will get a TDAP shot, too.
Don't worry.
It is, like, nothing has given me more empathy for my parents than being a parent. I'm like, oh my God, they were just people who had a kid and did, you know, like, and I had great parents, so I was very, very fortunate, but it's still, like.
Yeah, I mean, my parents and, like, all parents in general, I think it's definitely given me a much softer view of, like, it's made it much simpler whenever you see anything going on to be like, they're they're doing their best, man.
And
they're,
you want to let people know, like, when they're, like, now, instead of when I was, you know, childless and judgier, you know, like, I'm sure there were times where I probably rolled my eyes or whatever, mm-hmm. just because I didn't get, you know, when there's, yeah. And now, like, if I see a kid freaking out or, like, throwing something at a restaurant, the parents are like, I'm so sorry. I always feel a point to go, I have a three-year-old.
Yeah.
This is totally fine.
Yeah.
You, honestly, please, you're fine. Yeah. Everything's fine. Because I want to reassure them, like, it's, you know, like, with me, it's okay with me.
Yeah.
You know, so please don't stress about that. Just focus on whatever you need to do to make your little one feel better.
Yeah, I think those are, I mean, definitely, like, you know, if someone's kid cries and they're like, I'm really sorry, I'm always trying to tell them, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal at all. I hope that that's reassuring, because it is for me whenever there's, not that she has like a ton of meltdowns, but if she does, someone else saying that is always nice.
It really has been the best, in a way that I could never have, there's just nothing to compare it to. Mm. And I've said this a million times, but I feel like there are so many things that I feel like, you know, maybe we pursue in life, like career or status or materialism or whatever,
yeah.
thinking like, oh, that's going to fill this hole. The shape of this hole is it's a fancy car or it's this job or it's this thing. And, you know, none of, like, all that stuff, it just, all the pursuit of that stuff, it just never lasted that long. And then, but with her, it's like, oh, I think this is that joyful, like, feeling in my heart that I was always after, that is very prolonged, that feels like, oh, I mean, I'm not saying it's like this for everybody. I'm just saying this is just from my experience. I think this is the thing that I was always seeking. And I think all of that other stuff is fine. I enjoy work. Those things are fine. But they just don't mean everything, you know? And the stakes aren't the same. They're not real in my mind. It's like, oh, those weren't real stakes, you know? Like, that audition that didn't go well, that was not a real stake, you know? Like making sure this child is happy and feels, you know, good every day is that, those are the real stakes.
It's it certainly creates a priority shift. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a major change, and it changes the way you see all the, like you said, all the other stuff in your life. And not that stuff becomes unimportant, but it's everything becomes colored through the lens of, like, you know, this little person who you want to make sure everything's good for all the time.
Yeah, and it also, there's that thing of, I think before I would have thought, oh, you know, if I have kids, I gotta stay, you know, I'm gonna have to give up, you know, pursuing this.
Yeah.
But now, you know, because I remember my mom was a really great singer, and I was like, and I, for a long time, I always felt bad. I'm like, oh, she, you know, she gave up this career to, you know, to raise me, basically. And my mom would go, well, this is just what I wanted to do. I wanted to be your mom. I did, you know, like, all of a sudden the other stuff it wasn't as important to me anymore. And I totally get it. I was like, oh, it's not that I have to stay home. I want to be home. I do not like being away from my family. I love, you know, it's like when, if we get up in the morning and she says, like, hi, Dad, or whatever, or I love you, Dad, or whatever. It feels like it's that same feeling of, it's like the most famous person in the world being like, hi, Chris. Oh, my God, you know my name? You know me? You know, it's like being recognized, you know, by my child, or like being, like, the positively recognized. It just feels so, like, I don't know. It's...
Yeah, it's not, it's not that, like you said, when you, before you think of it as like, oh, this is like a one-to-one trade-off, but it's just... It's not exactly that, because you're not really the same person.
No.
That would have made that call.
Right? And I would rather, because now it's flipped, so that, you know, like, when, especially if I'm booking stand-up dates or whatever, I'm like, oh, that means I have to give up time with my daughter and my wife, and I don't That's not.
Yeah.
I love, you know, it's fun. I like doing stuff, but I'm, I would, you know, I would really kind of, I would really rather be hanging out with them because it is, it's just fun. It's fun and funny and so fascinating to just watch a person come online as a human and be along for that ride. And what are some of the things recently that, because obviously there's new stuff every week.
Yeah.
So what's the thing this week?
What's the thing this week? What has she been doing this week? She, I had a funny one. Cause because she goes to daycare, right? And she's around other kids and other adults all day, and so she'll pick up things. And you know, she would do things that I'm like, oh yeah, I know where she learned this or I know where she learned that. And the other day, she walked up and like held out her hand, and I shook her hand. She goes, "Nice to meet you." And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What do you? Where did that come from? And then she ran away, and I was.
You never find out, yeah, but you just know it was someone.
And now we've officially met, so that's a big thing this week.
I noticed a couple of like 2 days ago, Dimity started using conjunctions. Like, I freaked out when she started using adjectives. It's like, oh my god, she's modifying nouns.
Yeah.
She's describing things in specific ways. And so she makes us do a lot of character work. But she's cast us in all the roles from Unicorn Academy. So she's the main character, Sophia. Lydia is the best friend, Eva. And for some reason, she's cast me as the sorceress, Ravenzella.
Love it.
So she used to say, a couple weeks ago, she was saying, "I'm Sophia, you're Ravenzella." And I would go, and I would do this bad, like, woo-hoo-hoo. It was just like the worst kind of 1930s. It wasn't even, I didn't even sound like the character, but I was like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And so a couple of days ago, she said, "Daddy, I'm Sophia, but you're Ravenzella." And I was like, but? Like, it was a complete sentence.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Sophia, but you're Ravenzella. And that just melted my brain. It's like, she's using...
Yeah.
Lydia, she's using conjunctions.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are sentences. So, it is. It's really amazing. And I love that... I hope that you do this again with me, because I love just kind of... I don't know.
Yeah. It's good to talk about.
Geeking out about parenthood.
Yeah.
It's also fun and therapeutic. And I don't know. I hope that anyone who's watching, who's considering it, kind of doesn't get scared away by their parents. They're like, oh, I mean, you gotta really, it's like,
buckle
it's,
up.
Yeah. It's fine. It's life, you know, like it's fine. It's
yeah.
Fine.
It's like you said, it's life. It's, I think it's been, and just in general, I think it's good to let go of some of the like very hard lined expectations you have for how things are going to go or how things are going to play out in your life. And a kid is sort of like the ultimate version of that, like letting go of your of control in a little bit, in the sense of like, oh, I know exactly how this is going to go, and I know it's going to play out, and that's okay, because that's, like you said, that's life.
So you know how we have to end this, right?
How's that?
Hot dog!
Oh yeah!
Hot dog! Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. We're splitting the scene, we're full of beans. So long from now, from Mickey Mouse and the Mickey Mouse Club House. That's me!
I just wanted to win the spook.
I just wanted to win.
Nobody's gonna win, Pete.
What?
You better fuck off me, Mouse.
What the hell are you talking about, man?